lesson. And while the kids are heading off there, can you please open your Bibles? Open your Bibles. There's Bibles in the pew if you forgot yours at home. If you ever needed a Bible, just come and speak to us. We'd be happy to give you a Bible. So in your Bibles, please turn to 1 John chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 15 to 17. As we look to God's Word, as we enter into the Holy Word of God, let us hear these words. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. They're on the screen behind me as well. For the word of the Lord says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. Well, hasn't this been such a blessed morning? Wow.
Amen. Amen.
And we're not even done yet. Oh, praise the Lord. I wanted to start this morning by actually asking if you've ever heard the saying, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Amen. Over here in the middle. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're kind of nodding your head like you've actually had the moment already today where that was the case. Perhaps you were just like, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't. I don't know, maybe I should sleep a little bit longer." But you came to church, and aren't you glad you did? Amen. I'm so glad you did. But can we just think about this saying for a little bit? Because it's in the Bible, but we all struggle with this in some shape or form. And perhaps even this past week, you've ran into this situation where you knew you shouldn't talk about your friend behind their back, but you had to tell somebody. You couldn't resist a little bit of gossip, but it's still not right, not good. Well, what about this? I know I shouldn't eat that whole bag of chips. You know, you're supposed to just fill a bowl, not take the whole bag with you. But you're like, the Leafs are playing, and they're losing. I should get through the bag now that they've lost, right? No, still not a good idea. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. What about I'm going to go to church, but again, only after I've slept maybe another hour. And you show up and you show up for coffee time. That's it. Come on. And that's okay too, because we need community. But you know where I'm going with this. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It would be better if I was at home spending time with my wife and my kids. But if I work a little bit longer, I'm going to bring a little bit more money home. Or, I need prayer, but I think I'm just going to try and get through this by myself. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Boy, that applies to so much. So many choices that we make and don't make in this life. But you know what? It is words from Jesus himself. Now, but this saying as well, it's a warning. It's a warning not to give in to temptation. Whether that temptation is food, whether that temptation is words that we say. It could be also related to the company that we keep. Or what about the thoughts that we have and the programs we know we shouldn't be watching. We all have good intentions sometimes, but these can go right out the window when something which attracts our basic needs presents itself. We rarely see the flaws in our character unless we are tested. That's so true. We rarely see the flaws in our own character until we're tested. And the temptation is one way in which we struggle through becoming more like Christ in our character. Jesus said these words in Matthew 26, if you didn't know, and it's when he found his disciples doing what? Sleeping, when he had asked them to watch and pray. Watch and pray with me. He went a little ways alone, and he, in agony, poured out his heart before God, and then came back to his disciples and found them praying more sleeping more than once. They should have been praying. Jesus asked his disciples to watch and pray with him, but surrendering to a small temptation, they lacked the spiritual strength to fight off a much greater one. So the disciples gave in to the weakness of their flesh, and as a result, they were not prepared to support Jesus during his trial and crucifixion. It's incredible when you think about this saying, because Jesus went on to suffer such a horrible death. And he was like, Lord, take this from me, but not as I will, but as you will. Boy, he went right through that. His spirit was willing, his flesh was weak, but Jesus just went ahead and did as the Father, as the Father's will was for him. We all have a flesh, and it does not magically vanish when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. And I hope that's not a surprise to you today. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the flesh, what I mean by that is our sinful nature, the old carnal nature, the sinful passions and desires that still show up in our lives, sometimes when we least expect it, but we still battle with it every single day. And it must be dealt with. Our fallen nature has a side to it that really has no resolve, no self-control, no character. And every day we make choices about what spirit will be in control, what choices we can make. We can choose to give into the flesh. I'm not the only one that's done that this week up here. We choose to give into the flesh. We vent our anger on others. We indulge in sexual and moral thinking. We wrap ourselves up in sin that entangles us and takes us down a road that we know we not ought to. Not just with our thoughts, but with our words and with our actions. Or we can choose to control our minds. We can rein in our tongues. We can not watch that program. Minute by minute, we can, throughout the rest of our lives, just, how am I going to choose to get through this? Am I going to ask for help? Am I going to do this on my own? Because we will face choices that will affect our behavior every day. Now, and every day we must put to death these acts of the flesh, these desires of the sinful nature, such as pride or greed, lying, hateful words, stealing, jealousy. And as we learn in the scriptures, such sins wage war against our souls and play havoc in our relationships. There's another passage that I want you to look to this morning. It's Galatians chapter 5. Now, it's not on the screen, so you're going to have to open the Word if you have it in front of you. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. Paul's letter to the Galatians, and in this passage, we learn some very important spiritual truths about living for Jesus. And these are important spiritual truths to know whether you've just become a Christian and you've just been walking with the Lord for a couple of months, or whether you've been walking with the Lord for 50-plus years. These are important spiritual truths we should always know, understand, and apply to our lives. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. And if you're in the Black Pew, if you need to know where to go in the Black Pew Bibles, it's page 1155. Page 1155. Let us hear these words from Paul the Apostle. He said, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature or the flesh, right there. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so the first truth we learn in this text is that there is this war. In verses 16 to 17, we learn this battle, this war goes on between our old sinful nature, the flesh, and our new nature in Christ. They are at war every single day. As we see in verses 16 to 17, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. They are in conflict with each other. And even though I'm saved, and even though you might be saved, the flesh is still subject to its sinful nature. I find that even though I'm dead to sin in Christ, I continue to fall to the temptations that come before me. But then I know what the Word of God says, as I hope you do, is that when you sin, you confess your sin right away before God. And you believe in His promise that when you confess your sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you move on with that grace from God and learn and grow and mature so that you do not continue to struggle with that, whatever that issue is. Again, we all face the struggle of dealing with our flesh. In Romans 8, verses 6 to 7, Paul said, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God." Imagine that. Hostile to God. If we're not careful, if you're not careful in how you live your life, your mind, your thoughts, the way you live, do you want to be in hostility towards God? I pray that you don't. What's interesting about this battle, however, is that this battle is internal to us. It's something that happens inside of us. At the end of verse 17, Paul says, again, he uses the word conflict. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. And this tug of war, picture that. Picture that image in your head, in your heart, this tug of war over which way to go, which way to choose, what decision to make. And though it's an interior, invisible battle, the results, the outcome is outwardly evident. You know that list that I read that Paul said? He gives us two long lists of outcomes, two long lists of evidences. And those who live by the desire of the flesh, well, we learned about them. That's a big list. That's a whole other sermon series on just one of those words at a time. Adultery, sorcery, jealousy, fits of rage. And essentially, Paul is saying that that list of sin can be summed up as the lust of the flesh, our desire to gratify the sinful nature. When we believe in Jesus Christ, when we put our faith and trust in His life and death and resurrection, we are given a new desire, a new life in Him. The Bible calls it, we are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The old flesh, the old nature, the new has come. The Bible uses the words such as born again. We are born again spiritually. We are given new spiritual life as we become right with God. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, "It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live now moving forward, is because of faith." We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's no longer I that lives. Our heart of stone is removed and we are given a new heart in Jesus' name. This means that we are no longer callous to the ways of sin in our fallen world. And if you know any unbelievers, you know that the way they're living right now is quite normal to them, right? This seems right. Maybe at times it doesn't seem that I should be doing this, but it just feels so right and normal to do this. They're callous. They don't realize that they're sinners in a need of a Savior, and they need to be saved. Despite our sinful nature, in Christ, we are given a new identity, and the Holy Spirit is given to us in His fullness to help us live that out each and every day. So when it comes to living by the Spirit, there's this other list that's very contrasting to the outcome of living by the sinful nature, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. And those who live by the Spirit will produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is, well, starts with love, and then joy, and then peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are very positive outputs. And even if there are some of those words that I didn't have a good week with gentleness, and the fruit was lacking in self-control, God is at work in your life, and What it means to be a follower of Christ is to daily just depend on him to help you become more like Christ. So even if you failed in those areas, it doesn't mean you're not saved anymore. It just means that you need to continue to learn what it means to just live in repentance and come back to God and trust in his grace to help you through it. But in this text, a number of really important action words are given that we cannot overlook, because all these words are attached to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Look at verse 16 and 25. In verse 16, Paul says, "So I say, live by the Spirit." And then in 25, he says it again, "Live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit." And what these words mean is we are to be led. We are to keep in step. We are to keep following God in each and every day. So it's like praying this every day, that every choice that you make is led by the Holy Spirit. Have you gotten to that place in your prayer life where wherever you are and whoever you're with, you are praying as you walk and live, "Holy Spirit, lead me, help me, show me your way, lead me on your path"? That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit, we naturally shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To walk in the Spirit first means that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Second of all, it means to be open and sensitive to the influence of the Holy Spirit. And third, it means to pattern your life after the influence of the Holy Spirit. And again, nobody can do that for you. To keep your life in line with the Spirit, you need to daily deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. You need to, number two, deliberately set out to please the Lord. That is intention. And then lastly, dedicate your life to building your faith on the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, again, we all have a sinful nature, but if you're born again here today, the Spirit of God lives in you in his fullness. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to say each and every day, no to sin and yes to Christ. But we have to be real and honest with each other when it comes to our struggles. You know, like hiking on a trail, living for Jesus has its challenges every day. And when we're not paying attention to the attacks of the enemy, the distractions of the world, the flesh can lead us into sin and giving in to sinful lifestyles. Being aware, being alert, knowing what God's word says. Now, praise God, we can defeat the lust of the flesh through faith in the gospel and active obedience to God's word. And let us consider what God's word has to say about walking by the Spirit and defeating the desires of the flesh. And here are four ways I want to just leave with you this morning. Four ways that you can overcome the flesh each day in your life. Number one, walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit in prayer. In order to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, we must submit ourselves to God in the gospel and in an active prayer life. You see, prayer is a powerful spiritual weapon to combat the desires of the flesh. We have a prayer room right off to our side. Join us every morning before we worship to pray for the pastor who's preaching, those who'll be sharing, and just God's blessing on our time of worship and all the needs that come up. We need to pray and pray more together. Each of us have certain areas we are more vulnerable to temptation and susceptible to sin. Did you realize that? Did you realize that the person next to you has different weaknesses than you? And they're more vulnerable to temptation and more susceptible to other sins that wouldn't ever be a sin to you. Therefore, Scripture teaches us that we should always be alert to the possibility of Satan's temptation, especially in those areas. And part of being alert is to pray for strength. And as Jesus taught us to pray, he said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Walk by the Spirit in prayer. Walk by the Spirit in the Word of God. Number two, as we walk by the Spirit in prayer, we need to ensure that what we are praying for is in alignment with God's Word. That we are always looking at life through the lens of Scripture. Kind of like that. It's a good way of looking at it. The Word of God is another powerful weapon to combat the lust of the flesh, the sinful desires that come up in our lives. Ephesians 6:17 calls the Word of God the sword of the Spirit. You know, when it comes to the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, that one piece of armor is the only offensive weapon that's listed for a reason. In it, we find life, promises, and truth. When we have the Word of God active and alive in our lives, we are able to cut. That's what a sword does. It cuts down lies. It cuts down doubts and how the enemy wants to get into our head with his voice and lead us down a path of sin. Know the word of God. Knowing God's word, it will equip you with the truth needed to repel temptation and falsehood. Psalm 119, verse 11 states, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not, what? Sin against you. And also follow Christ's example, because when he faced temptation in the desert by the devil, every time the devil tempted him, Jesus countered the devil with scripture. And then he said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So understanding God's word becomes a form of protection against temptation that we can use in times of difficulty. So walk by the Spirit in prayer. Walk by the Spirit in the word of God. And thirdly, walk by the Spirit by renewing your mind. Renewing your mind. It is said that every battle is won or lost. Where? In the mind. Well, this applies to the battle against the flesh as well. And so I encourage you, let the Spirit govern your thoughts. Before you dwell too much on any thought, ask yourself, is this thought going to lead me to sin? And if it is, dismiss it before letting it become a simple thought becoming a sinful act. You know, Philippians 4 verse 8 provides us an incredible standard by which our thoughts are to be governed. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, brothers then, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. So if you have a kid that comes to you and asks you, can I watch this program? Go right to that passage. Okay, you want to watch that? Well, is it noble? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it excellent or praiseworthy? It helps. It really does. You can't go wrong with the word of God ever. And that's just a small example. You know, should I be in this relationship? Should I be thinking this? That's number one. Should I be listening to this? So use Philippians 4:8, because we are responsible for the kind of thoughts that we have. And our thoughts or habit of thought is something that we develop and feed. The way we think is similar to the way we enjoy food. The first time I smelled, let alone tasted coffee, I thought it was awful, Heinz. I did. Whenever my mom brought in a cup of coffee into the van, I sat at the way back and I covered my face because I was going to vomit. That was a long time ago. That was. However, I developed a strong taste and appreciation for coffee while I was in college. Step by step, sip by sip, not step by step. But over time, I just acquired the taste of coffee. That's just how it was for me. Perhaps for some of you in here, Pastor Lionel, you've never acquired that taste for coffee yet. Just not going to even go there. And why am I sharing this with you? Because Paul urges us to acquire a taste for good, holy thinking. Your mind. He challenges us to think about whatever is true and honorable, just, pure, lovely, excellent, and worthy of praise. And so this becomes like the filter to help us see how we currently think and moves us towards godly thinking. Because how we think will ultimately determine how we act. And if there's a step one to walking in the Spirit, it's this. Romans 12 verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So renewing your mind is an activity that you can initiate at any time with the Holy Spirit who is living in you. Simply take some time to sit with him and ask him to give you, just literally, give me Jesus' thoughts in this moment. Give me the thoughts of Jesus about this thing, this person, this thing tempting me. And each of these points that I've shared already, which is walking by the Spirit in prayer and in God's word in the renewing of your mind, isn't it incredible how they all work together? The more time you spend in prayer, the more time you spend in God's word, the more you'll be able to know and do what is pleasing to God because your mind is being renewed. But there was one more that I wanted to share with you. One more step to overcoming the flesh and that is walk by the Spirit in community. This is where you got to look to the person next to you and say, thank you for being in my life. Do that right now. Just thank you for being with me every day. Community. It's family. It's friends. It's your church family. Because the lust of the flesh is and can be defeated in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. God uses the people of God around us to encourage us, to exhort one another, to, yes, at times challenge and correct each other, and also to call us back to repentance and faith. Praise God if you are here today and your testimony is one of, I've come back. Not just because of God, because of the people God put in my life who prayed for me, who welcomed me and loved me back, who forgave me. We all need a local body of believers that is seeking to walk in step with the Spirit according to the Scriptures. We certainly need one another to help us in this pursuit of holiness, godliness. The Bible has a lot to say about accountability. But for many of us, the idea of sharing personal information can feel uncomfortable, right? Most of us would rather keep to ourselves and not involve others in our business. The Bible, however, makes it clear that Christians are to support each other in this regard. James 5, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Accountability in the body of Christ is a biblical principle. And you may know that, and we all may know that, but it's the applying it, right? That can be challenging at times. So stay connected, get to know each other more. And as you do, share your life, share your faith. Regardless of one's position, everybody is accountable to somebody and needs to be. And this holds true for the entire family of faith, from the congregation to the ministers. The good news of salvation, because it is good news, is that Christ died to save us from this path of the flesh. The path of doing things our way without God. The path of doing things which are pleasing in our sight, but whose end is always destruction and misery and oppression. Living only to please ourselves will undoubtedly leave us feeling unfulfilled, and it will leave you empty. Instead, inside each of us is a deep longing for more. And you know what that more is? That is God. Because he created us in his image. And we all desire to know our creator. But freedom in Christ means letting go of everything and everyone except for Jesus and always moving forward with him. When we seek to please God, not only will our lives be better, but the lives of those we love will be better as well. In our community, in our family. The more we love Jesus, the more we will love others. And wholehearted devotion to Christ, dedication to his word will satisfy us more than any of the treasures and pleasures that this world could ever offer. Let's close in prayer. God, we thank you, Lord, again for your presence in this place today. Lord, help us to apply your word to our lives today and this upcoming week. Thank you again, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.